Thank you for the service so far. That song by Valerie was beautiful, and Matthew and the congregation. Sister Irene, thank you for playing again the organ. 70 plus years you do that. May the Lord continue to bless you. I see a note on my desk that today is Berman and Dot Deloach's 68th anniversary. Would you please stand up? We just want to say that we wish y'all many more happy times together, and mainly, though, that your example of persevering in the faith wherever you go and have been, and make the church a part of your life together. May the Lord bless you both. Thank you so much. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the third chapter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. As we think about this last Sunday morning service of this calendar year, I was thinking, you know, there's certainly a setting to call back, and what a powerful prayer Justin made regarding the new year, and rightly so. And I know that there will be times, there will be situations in our life. As we think about the new year and bringing it in, and from the secular aspect, you know, from, you know, sparklers to Roman candles to s'mores and a bonfire. Nothing wrong with all that. But I pray the Lord will bless us as a church and as people of God to have a fire lit under us to serve the Lord Jesus this year. And may He bless us to do that, because it'll have to come from Him. But do not take what Christ is calling you to do for granted. And I pray the Lord will bless us as we enjoy these verses together. I say enjoy. It could be sort of hurtful, it was to me. But nevertheless, this is how God sees it, and I pray that you and I, by His grace, can see it the same way. This chapter and this book, as you know, is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Most of this book was written when he's in prison, okay? Circumstances should not affect our focus on following the Lord Jesus, but they do. Our circumstances do affect us. Easy to get our feelings hurt. Easy to get discouraged, easy to get to the point, well, we're just so blessed almost that we forget God. And that is dangerous. And that happens. I'm talking to Christians, and myself included. One of the things I want to say to you before I read these verses is that it's amazing the Apostle Paul said this like he did. Because here's a man, the Apostle Paul, that wrote more of the New Testament than any other writer. I mean, here's a man that you're talking about academics, you're talking about the law, you're talking about suffering, you're talking about what he's been through, this guy's been it. And yet, he finds a way to still see his insufficiencies. That's hard for us to do. Most of us think we're pretty good, pretty near what we ought to be, if we're honest with ourselves, and yet deep down we know we're not. That's why we need Jesus. But it is a profound part of Scripture, and I pray that it'll be. I've entitled what I want to say about it, Press On. We'll find this in this. But that is my theme, that is my talk to you this morning from God's Word, that we would press on. And what I mean by that is that press on means it's a continuing in a diligent, committed way, with the facing, in such as facing the obstacles and problems that we do. You know, I mean, just press on. It is a movement. It is not coasting. It is not quitting. It is not saying, well, you know, I don't think I can do this. I'm not going to do this any longer. You know, your burdens and mine, we might have to deal with them a long, long time. I mean, that's up to God. And that is a purpose in it, but you can know this, that God is with you, okay? And that's the only reason we can press on. That's what Paul was trying to say to us, and I pray the Lord will help us understand that clearer. I'm going to start, though, with verse 9. I know I told Tamla just to put verse 13 and 14 or 12 and 13 there, but let's look at verse 9 because I think it helps us grasp some of the points I want to bring out regarding pressing on. Verse 9, chapter 3 of Philippians. And be found in him, and that, of course, that him is Jesus. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I remind you that these verses before this, the apostle just laying out all his credentials and everything that he knew. He said, this is nothing compared to Christ. And I want you to notice too with me, he says it's the faith through the faith of Christ. Not his faith, it's Christ's faith. Okay. See, it's not so much how strong your and our faith is. Not how strong our hold on Christ is. It's Christ himself. His merit and his blood. That makes all the difference. And so he goes on to say in verse 10, that I may know him. That I mean, I want to get close to him, intimately. I want to know Christ. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. I want to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has a personal relationship with me. And Paul sees that. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. And then he says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing I want to say about pressing on is I want to say this. You got to have power to do that. And I'm talking about spiritual power. And what that comes, we see this in two folds, in this apprehension that Paul says, I've been apprehended. What that means is he's been seized. He's been taken captive by Jesus Christ. That's what happens in our salvation. You are either a slave to Jesus or you're a slave to this world. I know you don't probably want to hear that, but it's true. It's true. And we need to thank God that we have been seized. We have been captured by Christ. When did it happen to Paul? You remember on the road to Damascus? You remember that here's a man that persecuted the church. He lined up Christians to be killed for God because they believed in Christ. And God. And yet God changed that man. A power come over him. That's what grace does. A power come over the Apostle Paul and it knocked him flat off his back on the road to Damascus. And I'm not saying you and I have ever had that kind of experience, but it'd be okay if we did. I will say this. I believe that every genuine Christian has crisis in your life. And what we need to see as we embrace this new year is God, from crisis to crisis, I want to follow you. I want to press on. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get discouraged. Why? Because the prize is Jesus Christ. It's called Christ-likeness. What you and I need to say is whatever's happening now, whatever's happening, we need to say, how is this making me more like Jesus? Now, you have to do this as you're living in the context of life that God has providentially led you by, in your marriage, in your work, your health, your singleness, your college, your education, your church. I mean, it is all, see, it's not about God is somewhere out, outside of that. God is in the center of it, see? So that's what makes a difference, that we see our life lived in Him and who we live and move and have our being. Sometimes we miss that. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about having an effectuous call from God to serve Him. Because when Paul felt the power of God come on him, and he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? In Acts 9:6. That's what Paul said. That was the result of this power. That's what being apprehended means. Now, we can slough that off if you want to. But God will not let you go, okay? He won't let you go. Lord, what would thou have me do? So that's what being apprehended. That is a power that comes over you. See, grace is like this. Grace is irresistible. But see, it's what Christ has done to us. He changes us. He changes what we want to do. He changes us what we don't want to do. That's what grace does. But there's two folds of that power. Not only do we have the power, see, in this apprehension, then we have the power to respond to that. Namely, faith. Where do you get your faith from? You get it from God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You then have the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Holy Spirit lives within you as a believer? That's why you can't get along with sin very long. Doesn't mean you're not sin. I'm going to talk about that tonight. We will struggle with sin till we die and leave this life and go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And so this is the power that we have to press on. It's from God. And God calls us to do that. It's called sanctification, okay? But it won't happen until God embraces and comes upon us and saves us by His grace. And we have absolutely nothing to do with that. We do, however, have a lot to do with pressing on. A lot. And we pray that God would help us do that as we press on. It's important. It's important that we press on. It's important that we do that because it sets an example. And we can do it because God will never leave us nor forsake us. I'll tell you what, it's been a blessing for me in this church to be with people that press on. Right over in that front row sat a man by the name of Ed Bulleneau. He and Seal sat there for years and years and years. You know the story of Ed? He's over at Southern Manor now, but he presses on. Right in the back seat as we speak is a man by the name of David Jacobs. He and Sister Ann, they press on. I think about Arthur Woodrum. I think about Charlene Clutter. I could go on in this congregation. What I mean by that, you see people that have had to face circumstances in life that have dire consequences. And I know many of you others have, but you press on. You press on and you do that in spite of what you have to deal with. I'm going to tell you what, that is powerful. It is certainly powerful to see that. You know, I was thinking, I told some of the girls one of the days during the Christmas that some of them were over. And, you know, Penny and I have had some setbacks lately. But, you know, when I told them, I said, look, me and Penny's not going to play dead. We're not going to roll over and play dead. I mean, you know what? You know what I mean? You're going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to face these things. And God enables us to do it. And God gives us grace to do it, and it is powerful, and it is a blessing to be apprehended of God and put that burden on you, make you think that, well, Lord, I haven't done anything, and we really haven't. But nevertheless, what we have is Christ. That is why we're here. That is why God gives us life. So this power is powerful, but so many times we can waste it. At least a part of our pressing on. And we need to ask God to help us do it. Now, I want to think about this. Now, the apprehension. Paul says, I've been apprehended. So then, I'm going to apprehend. So what he's saying is, God, you have given me this. You have done this, man. What can I do? But because I'm not satisfied. Now, there's a difference between satisfaction and contentment. There is. I mean, you know, Paul says this. Don't you look back at your successes and say, well, you know, I've really done enough. I've done plenty and not this. And you just sit on your knees and you just kind of start coasting. Hey, you know, life is not for that. You know, and as you get older, many of you know that you got to press on. It takes more effort just to live. You hear me? It does. But you know, we're not, God doesn't bless us with years just so we can get a senior discount. He doesn't expect us just to find a place to land. I mean, we need to understand that when you follow Christ, and that is what I want you to see in your heart. If God gives, I can't make you feel like that, but I guarantee you, if God has blessed you, and you're here this morning, and there's a glimpse of Christ in your heart, you know what Christ is calling you to do. And you're going to have to press on. You're going to have to do it just like God gives it out. And God will enable you because he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And he won't. He won't. And what a blessing that is to see that and bless God in it, in every part of our life. But to think about the Apostle Paul and what he's called us to do and what he's doing. He says, this is how I'm going to do it. And he really didn't say, he said, I'm going to do it. He said, I don't, you know, you look back at your life, you say, well, you don't look back and say, now what does he mean by that, looking back? Does he mean that you just forget about your sins? He don't mean that. I guarantee you he doesn't. We need to always keep those sins in our rearview mirror because that keeps us humble. That keeps us in the grace of God that we know what he's done for us. But also, you know, we got a lot of mistakes and regrets. We don't just forget about that. But we don't let them get us down where we just say, well, they're just too much. If Paul had said, well, I did all that persecution, then surely God can't use me. See, Christ called him to do that. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow him. We need to press on. We need to see also the position of it. Not only the power, the position. See, the thing about the Apostle Paul, the thing about every believer. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you were saved before the foundation of the world, once you're notified that by the Holy Spirit, you have been made perfectly acceptable in the beloved, in Christ. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can say, well, I need to do this better. I need to do that. No, it's all Christ. You don't have to keep the payments up. Your sin debt is paid in full by the blood of Jesus, okay? So what we need to be mindful is, what am I going to do in this lot of life God has given me? Someone already said in a prayer this morning, thank you, Lord, for letting us breathe your air. Why do you think he lets us do that? Just so we can look good and be pampered? No. What we're here to do is glorify God in everything we do and say. So what's happened in our lives is what we bless God with. And we thank God for it. So the position, it's not about being saved. No. It's about the position that we're in to practice our position in Christ. In other words, we have been made accepted in the beloved. Okay? Do you know right now that you are perfectly sinless and pure and righteous in the eyes of God positionally right now? You are. The pressing on is, how do we practice that? See? Now, right now, this time of the year, there are coaches that are getting teams ready for the football playoffs, and I guarantee you they're talking about playing your position. They're talking to the defensive ends, not to let anybody get outside of them, and the cornerbacks, who they cover, what the split ends do. They have positions, and they say, you play your position. You get out of position, you're going to hurt the whole team. See? See, we need to play our position. And by the way, you know the most important player on the football field in a game is the referee. It's not the quarterback or the tight end or the linebacker. It's the referee. Because that person determines when the game starts, when it ends, and they make the calls. They say what's right or wrong. Doesn't matter if you agree with it or don't. They make it. Can you imagine what a game would look like if you didn't have a referee? Or a baseball game without an umpire? I mean, see, God makes the calls. And we have a position to play. And when we get out of position, God can make that call. And we need to respond to that in a way. Because here's a penalty for getting out of position. There is. You know, I think about the position that we ought to be in the church. In the church today, I believe in Christ today, it's becoming politicized. I'm afraid, Jesus Christ. You know, everybody loves Jesus until they find out who Jesus really is. And then a lot of people hate him. See, because Jesus is truth. I hear people say, well, you know, I was with a lady the other day. She was telling me, said, you know, I had this friend, said, their kids. She had just one of their kids married. She was a girl. She married a girl. And so they had a wedding. And she said, this friend said, I didn't go. She said, don't mean that I don't love him. She said, I just didn't go. And so she said, I get a call from her family and just about cussed her out. Said, man, what kind of Christian are you? I thought you were a Christian. You see, that's a persecution. See, I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's a whole lot easier to be a Christian in South Georgia than it is in Nigeria. But see, we don't know what persecution is, but we're getting there because we're living in a world where families has got the point with God that the position's all right. You know, God loves everybody. And that's not what God said. God loves everything. I don't know where that comes from. God is love. But I'm going to tell you what, God is holy. And the need for the church, the need for pressing on is holiness. Because you're talking about salvation by grace. You're talking about being chosen, elected of God, just like the Apostle Paul. You have been too. You know why you were done that? To be holy. Not to just flounce around and say, well, you know, by imputation, I don't have to do anything. You know, I've heard people say, and I've said this to you before, about the primitive Baptists or doctrines of grace. Well, if I believed in that, then I would just do anything I want to do. In my view, that person never even been saved. Why? Because when God saves a person, he changes what they want to do. Sin becomes a burden. Now, does sin burden you? Are you convicted of it? You need to do it. You need to thank God for it. Because God is just getting you in the position that you press on. See, that's what Jesus came to die for, sinners. You give it to him. Now, I was talking to my brother a couple days ago. He's in prison. He spent a lot of his life in prison. Drugs, methamphetamine. Not that I'm any better. It's just by the grace of God, I'm not, really. But he and I was talking. I said, Ricky, do you ever hear from your daughters? You got three beautiful daughters. He said, no, they don't have anything to do with me. He said, but I understand that. He said, well, you know, that's how it is. And said, you kind of like that too. I mean, you know. I said, well, you're right. I said, you got a problem with drugs, and I got a problem too. I mean, the thing is, we need to face the reality. See, sometimes we get forgiveness mixed up with consequences. And we didn't even understand that. What we have to do is press on. My brother's got to press on whether he ever has anything made up with his family or not. I mean, there's people that think all they got to do is live any way they want to do, and then they can just come right back in. Everybody's going to accept them just like this. That's not how God works. That doesn't mean you don't love them. See? It doesn't. I was over at the Lake Church. I'm talking about pressing on. And I was preaching there for a few years, as you know, and there was a couple there that I did their marriage. And, you know, they were married before they came. And so the wife had cancer and she passed away. They're a young couple. And so a couple years later, this girl started coming to church with the guy whose wife had passed away. And they went to church together several months. And so one day she comes down the aisle and says, I want to be baptized. I want to join this church. And I said, well, Debbie, I said, I'd like to talk with you. Can I come over this afternoon? She said, yes. Said she was from Atlanta. Said, I'm over at Baird this afternoon. Said, you can come over. And I did. And so I went over there and sat in under home. And I'm talking about Christians. These two Christians were then, are now. I'm sitting there, and Barry said, well, I got to tell you, Brother Randy, one thing. He said, you know, we're living together. I said, really? He said, yeah, but he said, we sleep in different bedrooms. I said, man, come on. You ain't going to make me believe that. But anyway, I said this. I said, Debbie, I said, listen, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, said the thing for you to do is get baptized, before you get baptized, is you get married. See? And you know what? I may be the only preacher, as small and ignorant as I am, that has ever done this. But on one Sunday, about 3 months from then, how did this work? I did a wedding and a baptism on the same day to the same person. And you know they're married today? I saw him over in Tractor Supply the other day, and he got a selfie with me. He said, I want to take a picture with you. We did that. So what I'm talking about, why did I tell you that? I'm telling you, there are people, you might be one of them, there are people that have families or that are living together and are not married. I mean, sit in churches every Sunday. Think nothing of it. And people won't say things like, well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. But I'm going to tell you, that's why the church is so soft and flouncing around in the world today, has no power, because we've gotten away from the holiest. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It's just a matter of understanding what God has called them to do. You're talking about the greatest happiness a person's going to have when they do things right for God. I had a couple one time I was doing premarital with, and I asked them that question. They said, yeah, we're living together. I said, well, you know, that's sin. She said, well, tell me what's going to make it better once we're married. I said, you won't have the guilt. She said, oh, I didn't realize that. See, that's how our world is. See, we need to understand that we have a position. If we're going to press on, you're going to press on to God to be like Jesus. Now, you can be conformed to this world if you want, and you can think you can do what things feel good and what people think about you, but what we need to be concerned about is what does God think? What does God like in our life? This whole idea is having to do with perseverance, though, just pressing on. What does that mean? That means you're continuing. You're pressing on. But you have a goal, a prize, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a shame sometimes how far we can leave something so precious as Jesus is away. Why, even his parents, you remember in the Bible where Joseph and Mary left him when he was talking to the lawyers and scribes somewhere? I mean, he's just a young boy. And they forgot about him. They walked off. It took them a day's journey. They remembered that they left Jesus. And the Bible says it took them 3 days to get back. Have you left Jesus somewhere in your life? Maybe it's some prayers you've neglected. Maybe it's a Bible read. Half the problems in our life, or maybe 90% of them, is because we neglect the Word of God. We don't have nothing to do with God's Word. Why? Because it kind of goes against what we're seeing. And sometimes when we take a line and we draw it biblically, then we're not going to make so many friends. I mean, even within our family, we're not. But we're to persevere. And what a blessing it is to do that. What a joy it is to press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Are we going to do that? I mean, being a Christian is dangerous. I'm serious. I'm not about just coming to church and feeling good and we'll go eat lunch in a minute, have a good day, dress up pretty and everything. No, I'm talking about in the midnight hours. I'm talking about pressing on. So that when it comes our time to die, we will be able to lay there in hospice or the hospital or somewhere like Sister Betty Whitaker and nod her head with a ventilator and say, I'm ready to go to be with Jesus. Now, my friends, that's pressing on. That's the difference in our life. But now we're going to fool around with this world and try to do everything to please everybody else. And we're going to be as selfish as we can be because we have that nature. And then we need to get on our knees and cry out to Jesus and say, find me, Lord, because that's the only way I'm going to find you. Give me, Lord, that initiative to deal with my life and prompt my ways according to yours, to press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. And this is especially for preachers. I mean, you know, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't looking at all his credentials. He was saying, I want to be like Jesus. It's not how much I'm like so-and-so, it's how much am I like Christ. I mean, Todd had the measuring tape up. You don't measure yourself according to people, you measure it by Christ. May the Lord bless us to see what a prize we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. May He bless us to rejoice and to give us the grace and the spiritual gumption, I'll call it, to press on, even in the midst of difficult situations. Because I'm going to tell you, you are a light of the world, the salt of the earth, and to press on, or to not press on. You know, it's been said, this is maybe an old wise fable, whatever. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You ever heard that? That's how it is with Christ. It's just like riding a bicycle. You don't ride a bicycle standing still. See, you're going to fall. You press on. And if you fall down when you walk, pressing on, you get back up. May the Lord bless us and help us do everything for His honor and for His glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for this Lord's Day. We thank You, Lord, for the precept of pressing on. And we thank You, Lord, for the position that You've given us in Christ and the enablement You've given us to do it. Most of us have failed that miserably. But Lord, the fact that we're still here today and still breathing Your air gives us hope that Your redemption, Lord, will bless us to use the time we have left in a posture of pressing on. We read of a man called Caleb that was in his 80s that wanted a mountain. We read of a man called Moses that in his 80s led Your people through a wilderness. Lord, we're under construction, we know it, but it's Your construction. And we pray, O Lord, You would bless us to keep on keeping on for Christ, for we are Yours. And we pray, O Lord, You would use us and bless us and help us not lose our youthfulness. We can lose our youthfulness, but thank You, Lord, that we can't lose our salvation, for we would if that was possible. That's how fickle we are. Forgive us, Lord, and focus us upon Christ Jesus our Lord. Light our fire by Your grace and kindle us, Lord, when our wood gets wet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.